Please be seated and turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament, to Genesis chapter 19, if you would. And we'll finish the second part of our looking at the end of the age and how that God used Lot and his wife to prepare us for the end times. But it's very amazing that he used Lot's wife, and that Jesus himself said more than one time, "Remember Lot's wife." And a cool thing about reading the Bible is that it is so accurate, it never changes. You can always trust in it, and you can believe in it. Newspapers aren't exactly always that way, are they? I don't think they are. But there, did you know there's 11 major newspapers in the country, and each one has a different spin to it? I don't know if you read newspapers or not, but I had somebody give me the different spins of all the newspapers, and I thought, in light of their different spins, how cool it is that we can read the Bible, and it's the spin of truth. So it doesn't change with the times or the values that mankind puts on. Here's an idea of these top 11 newspapers. The Wall Street Journal is read by the people who run the country. The Washington Post is read by people who think they run the country. The New York Times is read by people who think they should run the country and who are very good at crossword puzzles. USA Today is read by people who think they ought to run the country but don't really understand the New York Times. They do, however, like their statistics shown in pie charts. The Los Angeles Times is read by people who wouldn't mind running the country if they could find the time and if they didn't have to leave Southern California to do it. The Boston Globe is read by people whose parents used to run the country and did a far superior job of it. Thank you very much. And the New York Daily News is read by people who aren't too sure who is running the country and don't really care as long as they can get a seat on the subway. The New York Post is read by the people who don't care who's running the country as long as they do something really scandalous, preferably while intoxicated. The Miami Herald is read by people who are running another country but need the baseball scores. The San Francisco Chronicle is read by people who aren't sure there is a country or that anyone is running it, but if so, they oppose all that they stand for. There are occasional exceptions if the leaders are handicapped minority feminist atheists who also happen to be illegal aliens from any other country or galaxy, provided, of course, they are not Republicans. And the National Enquirer is read by people trapped in line at the grocery store. But the Bible never changes and only keeps its own spin on things, which is truth. So let's do a quick review of the things that we looked at prior to this. Number one, the emphasis that Jesus Christ made himself, that everybody should remember Lot's wife. And there's a reason that we should remember this woman. She made some big mistakes, but there's nothing written about her to know what those mistakes are. So we have to read in between the lines of what these mistakes could be. So then we looked at Genesis 13, verse 10, Lot lifted up his eyes. He looked at the plain of Jordan, which is very green. And instead of giving his uncle the first shot at what was good, he took the best and went down to Sodom. And God ended up destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. Then in verse 11, last message, we looked at that Lot chose for himself instead of praying. He never prayed. He just chose. He did it on his own. And then we looked at chapter 19, verse 7, 8, 9, and 10. And we saw that when the two angels came to the town, the sexual perverts of the community said, "We want to know these men carnally." And they didn't know they were angels because they looked like human males. And he begged with them, "Don't do this. I will give you my daughters." And these girls were virgins. And so we discussed what kind of a father would not defend his daughters, instead would give them to these perverts. And in light of that, we're going to see St. Peter talking about the end of the world and using Lot in a totally different vein. So you have to wonder, why is Lot's wife the point of contention or the warning to us? In Genesis 19:9, when the angels saw how wicked the men were, they simply told Lot, "Stand back." They reached out through the door and grabbed him, pulled him back out, and they did some sort of a power trip and blinded all the men from old to young. And they all began feeling around the doors, trying to find their way to get into Lot's house. And yet in Leviticus, we noted that God was very adamant that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah had something that was wicked. And they did not want the things of God. And so God was going to get rid of this area of the world that was polluting everyone. But for some reason, Jesus didn't say, "Remember these people." He said, "Remember Lot's wife." In Romans chapter 1, verse 26, we looked at St. Paul's words to the first century church, warning the last church, telling us what the future would hold. And he told them that God gave them over. So as people are just surrendered, God no longer even tries to show them what's right. They gave them up to their vile passions. And even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. In verse 27, Paul warned the people that were living in Rome that this lifestyle was the same as Sodom and Gomorrah, and it would be such at the end of the world that the men should be very cautious because there is a penalty for this lifestyle. Again, judgment. So now we turn to chapter 19, and we look at the story and we pick it up, and we wonder what is in this story at the end of the age that could help you and me be a better person and to be able to understand the Lord. In verse 15, it says, "When the morning arose, the angels hurried up Lot, saying, 'Arise, take your wife and your two daughters, which are here, lest you be consumed in the iniquity of the city.' And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them, and brought him forth and set him without the city." I want you to notice the word hand. When God is wanting to help you, he will give you a hand. When God is trying to warn people and to get them out of judgment, he'll take you by the hand. He will do whatever he can to get you to heaven. That's pretty intimate that these angels came up and took him by the hand. God wants to do the same for you. And then it came to pass when they brought them forth that he said, "Escape for your life," and underline this, "look not behind you." Don't turn around. "Neither stay you in the plain, escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed." And Lot said, "Oh, not so, my Lord, because now your servant has found grace in your sight, and you have magnified my mercy, which you have shown unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it's a little one. Oh, let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live, otherwise it's not influenced by the lifestyle of Sodom and Gomorrah." For some reason, he didn't want to go to the mountains. The wickedness was up in the mountains. He's fearful of the mountains. And so it says that he said unto him, "I have accepted you concerning this thing. Also, I will not overthrow this city for the which you have spoken. Haste thee, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you come there." Therefore, the name of that city was called Zoar. And Zoar was one of the cities that was first mentioned when the angels came down to this part of the country. "Then the sun was risen upon the earth, and Lot entered at sunrise into Zoar. And the Lord rained down upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities, that which grew upon the ground." I was watching a DVD this afternoon as I was studying. And I'm going to invite this doctor to come and to speak to us. But he's done excavations and believes that he's found the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in Israel. And they discovered this material like melted and meshed together. And he shows on his slide, and he brings these things to you from Israel and from the nuclear testing grounds of Nevada and New Mexico. And the melting of the rocks and of the items that they have are exactly the same as when we test our nuclear weapons here in our country. And the area was just totally scorched. So the fire and brimstone, we really don't know what that is. We do know it came out of heaven. We're not exactly sure what it was, but it was devastating like a nuclear blast. You know, there's something right now that's out there. There's several things that are out there that are totally different than you and I are even thinking of. Do you remember one of the things that happened when President Clinton became the president? One of the first things they started doing was shutting down military bases. Even today, paring back of the military, paring back. Because the wars of the future are going to be so supernatural. For instance, there are sound waves that are used today that will be used in mass scales that you could really deafen an entire battlefield, and that they can stop noise and sound if they turn their equipment a certain way. You wouldn't even hear a troop coming. Electromagnetic impulse, bombs. One bomb at the right altitude, the center of the United States, would flatten everything electronically. All cars would shut down, all hospitals would stop, all computers would crash, all electricity grids would go down. There wouldn't be a shot fired, but there'd be chaos everywhere. If it happened to you in the nighttime, you'd want your lights, and you'd be freaking, what's happening? Cars would not start, there'd be no car headlights, probably flashlight batteries would stop, your refrigerator would stop, emergency equipment would stop, there'd be no help. And if the enemy of America had hundreds of thousands, if not even more, sleeper cells that just said, okay, it's time to pop up. Anybody that's running around, just take them out. There's a lot of weapons that conventional warfare will not even stand up against. So we have no idea what the fire and brimstone was, but there is evidence that whatever hit that part of the world was much like a nuclear blast, and we don't know what it was, but we do know that God was upset with these people. So it said, the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants. So everybody died of the cities that which grew upon the ground. His wife looked back. Would you underline that? This is about all we know about Mrs. Lot. Remember Lot's wife. So what can we remember? We can remember she turned around. So is that what we need to remember? Or what was it about Lot's wife? Well, first of all, she didn't obey God's word. Now, he knew who God was because he was the nephew of Abraham. Abraham was the father of the Jews. Abraham brought the blessings of God to the planet to start a new race of people. So one thing in remembrance Lot's wife is we always want to believe God's word. We want to obey God's word. In the end times, we would be told there will be people falling away from God's word. So this is not a time to fall away from God's word. This is a time to get closer to God's word. So in remembering Lot's wife, she looked back, and this was the problem. And she looked back and from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now think of that. The Dead Sea is not too far away from Sodom and Gomorrah. Could it be that whatever this was so damaged that part of the planet that the salt came shooting through the air and just hit her with a ton of salt, and she is frozen on the spot? But it didn't get the two girls, and it didn't get the dad. It got her. Sunday school class was asked, what do you know about Lot's wife? And these little 10-year-old, 9-year-old guys said, well, I heard she was a pillar of salt by day and a ball of fire by night. Well, now what you got to remember is that she turned into salt. What good is the salt if it loses its savor? It's good for nothing, Jesus said, but to be cast down, trodden underfoot. So the looking back is a warning to us. What did she look back at? She looked back at the world. She looked back at the world and the things of the world, the memories, the things that she loved the most. Abraham got up early in the morning and to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. The whole country was like a huge furnace. Imagine how devastating this judgment was from the Lord. Now, some have said that the tsunami was so powerful that hit Indonesia several months ago. It not only moved the island of Sumatra 96 to 100 feet from its foundation, it is very possible that it hit the gravitational tilt of the earth. God made the planet so it's at a perfect 23-degree tilt on its axis so that it would spin, and orbiting around the sun, we would have the perfect weather and we'd have the perfect climate. If it is off of its tilt, and Isaiah said that the earth in the last days will wobble to and fro like a drunkard and be removed out of its place, then we could be going to a polar axis shift, and that's why the weather patterns are so insane. Now, I don't know if last Wednesday night you went home and watched the ABC special. It was fantastic. The millions of dollars they put in that thing, but they basically said the earth is coming to an end, and it was not a Christian movie. It was scientific. It was all about the things that they realized, the icebergs that are melting and the glaciers that are coming apart, and how that whole glaciers are missing. In just a 40-50 year period, this place is heating up. Global warming or whatever it is isn't the issue. The issue is we are in trouble. And Isaiah said that the earth languishes under the inhabitants thereof. Otherwise, the problems we're having in our systems, our ecosystems, are all created by the inhabitants of the earth, that we have done too many things incorrectly to keep the balance of planet earth going. So God is going to, when we hear judgment, is going to create a new heaven and earth. Now, for those that would find heaven to be hell, he's not going to force them to have to go to heaven. So they're going to live their lives like in the days of Noah, and remember Lot's wife. The things of Sodom meant more to her than obeying God's word. The materialism, the memories. She probably was a Sodomite raised in that type of a situation. Her father, her brothers, her uncles, probably molested as a child, who knows, but grew up accepting that sexual perversion was normal. You know, Chairman Mao said, forget the older people. Give me the children and let me train them for 25 years and China will always be communism. You get rid of the old gray hairs, you get rid of the professors, you get rid of anybody that remembers the past, and you revise history. And the young people will grow up always accepting this is how it has always been. So you are living at the end of an era when history is being revised and you are being told this is natural. You could resist it, but in a few years, nobody will resist it because they don't know anything else. So God, who never changes, though the newspapers change, men's hearts and attitudes change, God's word never changes. For every generation, he will let his word be there. And I think that in every generation, he gives, since 2,000 years ago, an opportunity for that generation to experience revival before it's all over. So you need to be prepared that the Lord is coming back. But you need to be prepared that you have the ability to see supernatural miracles and working power. If there's ever a time the church needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit to work miracles and exercise gifts, it's got to be now. Because lukewarmness is everywhere. The church is lukewarm. No matter how excited it can act, it is not pure before the Lord. And the Lord wants to purify you, his bride, before his wedding day with his son. So now Uncle Abe looks and he sees it's like a furnace, smoke everywhere, something happened. Lot went out of Zoar, dwelt in the mountains, his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave and his two daughters. Here's this wealthy businessman that gave up his rights to Abraham's inheritance, goes down to this secular city, becomes a judge, sits in the city gates as a political leader, is successful, but when he tries to convince the people, they say, who are you, a stranger coming in trying to be a judge to us? We'll do what we want to do. He's lost his wife. He's lost his character. He's lost his respect. So he goes with his daughters, and look at verse 31. The firstborn said to the younger, our father is old, and there's not a man on the earth, in the earth, to come into us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine. We'll lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. It came to pass on the next day that the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay yet last night with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night, and you go in and sleep with him, that we may preserve the seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when they lay down nor when they arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child, they're both pregnant, by their father. And the firstborn bore a son called his name Moab, and the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Here's my question. Where did these two young girls, these daughters of Lot, learn about incest? Now, Lot said they were virgins. But I think there's a problem here. If you are exposed over and over to filth or to purity, one of them is going to rub off on you. Though they were virgins, we do know that the culture finally broke down their will. Now think of this, what happened here? Because it could very subtly happen to me or to you. We're all prone to attacks from Satan. The girls, the oldest sister said, you know what? There's not a man to have sex with. We have to get our father to have sex with us so that we can have him impregnate us so we can carry on the human race. Know what the problem here is? A small worldview. I think when you have a small worldview, you think everybody else is gone and you're the only one and you have to solve the mysteries and you have to take care of everything. I really think that was it. They were led to believe there's nothing outside the walls of Sodom and Gomorrah. There's no other things going on. But they were aware that all men were destroyed in their town. But because of a small worldview, that there wasn't a lifestyle bigger than the lifestyle they grew up in, they took matters into their own hands. Can you see that? Because of that point of view, that there's no man, and there were men everywhere outside of that valley, God just nuked the area that was specific. Sort of like laser surgery or like chemotherapy going into a certain area with radiation and killing a cancer. But if you have a small worldview, you're going to think it all comes back to you. And it doesn't. It always goes back to God. So I think that the older sister could have had a positive influence on her younger sister and could have taken a more mature role and said, Dad, we've got some issues here. Everybody's dead. It said you're afraid to live in Zoar, but you're originally afraid to go to the mountains. Here we are in the mountains living in a cave. Before we were in that little town. So this tells us a little bit about Lot. He vacillated a lot. And so the girls could have taken a stronger role and been more of a leader. But where did they ever learn about incest? I think that the mother, remember Lot's wife, is the key. I think the things she talked about, watching Desperate Housewives on the weekend, watching the soap operas during the day, the climate that she set with all the movie magazines and entertainment magazines on the coffee table, and everything about the world and the latest clothes and fashions, and everything was worldly, 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 Sodom, 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 the Sodom Gazette. That was the only newspaper they had. So the girls began to believe and be trained by mom without mom even having to utter a word. Think of the influence your mother had upon you. Even if you didn't have a mother, the lack of a mother had a tremendous influence on you. But your moms had tremendous influence upon you. So I think this thing about incest was very possible. These girls grew up with this, and their girlfriends in school might have even talked about it in their own family. In Luke 17:31, I think we see the key to remembering Lot's wife. In that day, Jesus said, "He which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not turn back." And then the next verse, he says, "Remember Lot's wife." I think that's the key. It was all about the stuff. I think it's that simple. It was all about the stuff. If you're on the top of the roof, and that day comes, don't go for the stuff in the house. And I think that she just couldn't by faith make it up the hill without turning around and thinking, oh, those Persian carpets we had. Oh, the drapes. Oh, the pool we just had. Oh, the neighbors, the money, the bank accounts, the ivory, the china, the silver. My life was there. My high school, my elementary, everything about her life was there. You see, when you're going to higher ground with angels taking you by the hand, you're headed towards heaven. But heaven was not real to Lot's wife. It was the world and the stuff of the world. How dangerous it is for us to turn around and think that stuff can console our hearts and bring peace to us. Stuff can't. Only God can. And he reaches out to you today. Now let me just show you some things. When mom and dad fail, and when people let the culture begin to control, things go wrong. Here's a stat of the SAT scores in the United States of America from the time, this is only a 20-some year period, from the time that prayer was taken out of public schools, the SAT scores. And that's just up to about 1990 or 91 or so, from about 1962 when they said, get that out and get the Bible out in 64. Just the intelligence of America began to dumb down. Look at the number of abortions just since prayer was taken out of school. And that's only in a 20-year period. It's way off the charts today. But immediately, what has started happening to young people was intellectually they are no longer challenged. So physically, the devil started hitting them. Look at the number of births for unmarried women. Just off the charts. And instead of saying abstain, they say have the date pill. Have this pill. Have that pill. Anything to just keep you away from the things of God. Look at, since prayer was taken out of school, the single parent families just skyrocketing. That's only in a 20-year period. It's way off the charts now in the 21st century. But you see, we just let it happen around us and we accept it. Look at child abuse cases. Just since prayer was taken out of the schools, how the adults have turned against children. Children are defenseless. Look at this, teenage suicide rate since prayer was taken out of school. See, there's no worth to a child. They don't know anything other than they evolved from the monkeys. And they're not being reinforced to know that there's a higher ground that heaven can take them by the hand and lead them to. Look at the number of violent crimes. And this is nothing compared. This is also up to about 92 or so. This is about 15 years ago. But look how it's just stayed the same for the first couple of years after prayer's gone. And all of a sudden, violent crimes in America just went off the charts. Now, this is very stressful. Very stressful. And if you're stressed by it, let me give you a stress test right here, all right? If you're stressed by the things in the world, this little test right here will help you straighten things out. I'll have them put it up on the screen for you. Here you have a picture of two dolphins, right? And on the left is a female dolphin, on the right's a male dolphin. And if you just look at it long enough, you see that these two dolphins are really happy. Now, if for some reason you don't see two dolphins, but you see something else, you're really stressed out. You need a vacation, okay? So there's a lot of stress going on in the world today. And you can just check yourself with the Bible and you'll be able to know the truth. You know, here's the deal. The heavenly timing for judgment has a connection with Noah entering the ark and Lot leaving the city. There's a connection for you and me. Noah entering the ark and Lot leaving the city. Leaving the world behind, entering into a commitment with the Lord that you'll rise above the judgment that is coming. Only you can make that commitment. And you need to make that commitment. That you want to see the ark like the church. That the church enters in and God raises it up. And behold, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. God closed the door on the ark. Very interesting to stop and think that he was not removed, but he was preserved to rise above the judgment, where Lot was removed and given a hand to get out of it because God had more for him. So in chapter 19, verse 15 to 38, we see some very destructive things. Some very destructive things. But I would like to show you in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 9, how a first century preacher looked at these things and how he warned the Christian community like I've been trying to warn for so long. And then you wonder why people don't listen. It's because many are called, but few are chosen. And I don't think it's because God said, I don't want you, and I don't want you, I don't want you. I think it's because people say to God, I don't want you. They don't choose God. And they'll run around the ark as the rain came down. I am sure that Noah's shipyard had a lot of neighbors and people standing around saying, now what is this about rain and the flood? And if there's one break in the clouds, they all ebb away. But when the troubles come, they all get right next to it. Look what he has to say in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even evil spoken of. And through covetousness, and that was Lot's wife, looking back at the stuff, shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. The whole purpose of anything to do is money. Whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and he spared not the old world. Would you underline that? The old world. We hear of a new world order. There was an old world. It was just as thriving as the one you and I live in. But God wiped it off the face of the earth. And he spared not the old world, but he saved Noah, the eighth person. And number eight, usually in the Bible, is new beginnings. A preacher of righteousness. So he proclaimed the word to them, but they didn't want righteousness. Bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And so God brought a flood, a fire and brimstone upon the ungodly in Sodom and Gomorrah. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. That's very scary. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but that's very scary. They were destroyed so they'd be an example to anybody that would want to live that lifestyle in the future. Can you begin to understand why the Bible is an enemy of the world? The world does not want it because it is a warning tool also. And the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah was a warning for later generations that would get involved in that sin. And especially think of all the government officials that would vote for it, the judgment that's going to be on their households and is on their household right now. And the people that have said, oh, okay, it's because we've thrown God away. And them as an example unto those that should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed or troubled, tormented is a good translation, with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, was troubled or vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now this is important, because it didn't look to me, or maybe to you, that Lot was a righteous man. How could he be a righteous man and live in that society and endorse that society, and how could he be the man that he was that was willing to give his daughters over to these people instead of to defend his daughters? But yet, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. And it's strange that Peter remembers Lot, but not the wife. But he calls him a righteous man who lived in the midst of a wicked and a filthy society, listening to and seeing the lifestyle that was abhorrent to God. This is about what best I can come up with, God's grace. Here is a guy that had the promises of God, one foot in the world, one foot in God's kingdom. One believing in God, but yet wasn't a good spiritual leader of his household because his daughters didn't know and his wife didn't know. Imagine the life that he could have had if he was really unleashed in the Holy Spirit. Think of yourself for a moment. The things that you'd want to change in your life, if you could go back and do things over, if Jesus were in your life and the Holy Spirit was what was motivating you, those things would have ended up the correct way. So I think that God shows us that in the midst of trial, in the midst of judgment, in the end of the age even, there will be many that you'll be surprised to see in heaven. And I'll admit there will probably be a lot that will be a surprise to see you and me there too. And they'll say, how'd you get in here? I think God's grace is beautiful. But I'm not sure that Lot got the best life he could have had because he didn't take all that God had for him. But God did honor his word for him. Now look at the next verse. It makes it a little clearer for us. And he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation, that righteous man dwelling among them. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of judgment or of temptations, and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. Now that's one I hang my hat on. The Lord knows how to deliver me from judgment. So he knows how to deliver you too from judgment. You see, on the cross, the judgment of God came upon Jesus Christ. And when I cried out to Jesus and said, oh Lord, have mercy on me and forgive me of my sins, and his spirit filled me and gave me eternal life, I think God honors that. Now, could I lose that? Could I walk away from it? Probably if I wanted to and denounce it. But there's nothing in me that would ever want to do that. His spirit is too strong inside of me. So there's the doctrines of once saved, always saved, or you can lose your salvation. Really not an issue to me, because I just want Jesus Christ and him crucified. So if you want to toy with that and split hairs over it, you're missing the joy of the Lord because you're argumentative. So if you're saved and you know it, let your face show it, right? Just let the smiles be there all the time. So I'd like you to circle that in the person's Bible on your left side, because that's a great hope for you. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. And out of judgment is another translation for the word temptations. God will deliver you. And so I think that Noah and Lot now become an example to you and me that God will remove you and me from the judgment that is about to come if you give your heart to his son, Jesus Christ. Now take it another step. God knows how to deliver us out of temptation. Temptations can come to each one of us. And you say, but I'm too weak for this. I hear it all the time. I'm just too weak. I can't stop doing this. But God's not too weak. God knows how to deliver you out. Best thing to do is just cry out, oh, Jesus, help me. That's all. Jesus, save me, is what Peter said as he was sinking. But chiefly, them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous, they're self-willed, they're not afraid to speak evil about dignitaries. So Lot was an example. He was a righteous man, it says. He was troubled by his lifestyle, but he could have moved. He just chose to live a lukewarm existence, I think. And unfortunately, he didn't train his wife enough to remember God's word. So, remember Lot's wife means a woman that wasn't taken care of in the word of God. If you would look at chapter 3, verse 1, Peter tells everybody that's reading this letter, the second epistle, beloved, I now write to you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. It's a good thing about the Bible. It stirs up your mind. And the more you read it, the more it stirs your mind. And it wants you to remember things. But let's close with this. What do we want to remember? That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, of the commandments of the apostles, of the Lord and Savior. So remember, bring to remembrance the Old Testament and the New Testament. Know your Bible, he says. He's just talked about the end of the age, that Noah and Lot are examples to us. Bad lifestyles and bad choices from the past are examples to us. Use the Bible as your thermometer to where you are living. Knowing this first, so the very first thing, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Where's Jesus? For since the fathers died or fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water in the water. So ignorance to the word of God, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Remember he said the old world? There were billions of people probably living just like us, and they did not believe judgment was coming, and then it came. There were people living in Sodom and Gomorrah, and they didn't believe there was judgment, and then it came. There are people living in the world today that do not believe there's judgment, and then it's going to come. All the warning signs are out there. And so it perished by water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of whole ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. It's only been 2 days since Jesus died and rose from the dead. So it's nothing for his judgment to come. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, quite the opposite of the person said, what a mean, horrible God. No, God doesn't want anybody to perish. He's always given a warning. People choose to perish. And the scoffers and mockers are the demons that are in our societies, that are the false prophets, it could be the media or you name it, they're promoting a lifestyle that is going to bring the judgment. And they're the ones that are usually making the most noise about the Bible, about God, about anything to do with Jesus. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now this literally means that the melting is a scientific term. All the atoms, the neutrons, protons, everything is going to mesh together and just melt and disappear. This whole dimension will be purified by fire. That's the judgment that's coming. It's not going to be water. That was the flood. He put the ark out there, the rainbow, to promise his judgment wouldn't come. But now the fire is going to come. It will melt everything down and it will be dissolved. So look at this final question he raises, verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, even the stuff that you want to turn around like Mrs. Lott and look at, all of these things shall be dissolved, the question being, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What type of a life should you be living now as a man or a woman? Knowing these things, what tremendous responsibility we have, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, be dissolved, and the very elements shall melt with fervent heat. Dear God, we pray that you could just hit our hearts strongly, that we would really consider what kind of people we're going to be in all manner of conversation, all attitude, everything we're involved in. May we not be hung up on the stuff. May the world not have a lasso around our ankle. But knowing that you have warned and warned through the prophets, and as St. Peter said, even the epistles from the apostles, let us stir up our hearts to righteous living and not be ignorant. We'd like to just bow our hearts before you tonight and say, forgive us, God. For many times we do look at the stuff, and stuff and things become more important than time with you. And Lord, we pray that as you delivered Noah, the 8th person, and you saw that this man was considered righteous, named Lot, though he lived a vexed and tormented life, maybe knowing good but not doing it, not being the spiritual leader of his house, he paid the price. But still, you removed him. And we pray that you'd be gracious to each one of us and take us by the hand and lead us out of judgment. And we thank you that you know how to deliver the godly. And Lord, we pray that you could help us be loving people committed to truth. And God, for those that are mockers or scoffers that would even laugh at a message like this, may you speak to their hearts and give them another chance. In Jesus' name, amen.